Now is a good time of year to think seriously about the cross of Jesus Christ. In the Church of England calendar, today is called Passion Sunday, the fifth Sunday of Lent. And that's why we put a cross up inside, and why this week we're planning to put a cross up outside with the encouragement of churches together in Poynton. We'd like everyone to think about the cross. And in the same way that at Christmas time, a Christmas tree or something like that, and the lights in the darkness helps people think about Jesus being born into this world, so a cross ought to be the biggest thing to help us see what's going on as we remember the most important thing in the Christian year, Easter, the things of Easter. So, good time to think about the cross, and today's reading helps us get to grips with one serious and disturbing aspect of the cross. That is the hate, the unmerited hatred towards Jesus, which happened at that time. Sometimes when I read the Bible, I'm full of questions. And today's passage from John's Gospel is like that. So I'm going to preach the passage as a series of questions, and hopefully that'll help us all as we go through looking at this. In the Church Bibles, it's there in the New Testament section, page 114. It would help if you had the words in front of you so you can see what we're preaching from, and also what the home groups will be looking at this week or very soon. The new home group study is there at the back for the leaders. First question, is Jesus being a bit paranoid? Just read chapter 15, verse 18. Jesus says, "If the world hates you," to his followers, "be aware that it hated me before it hated you. If you belong to the world would love you as its own, but I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, servants are not greater than their master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you." Well, when we think everyone hates us, we are usually succumbing to a bit of paranoia. So is Jesus being a bit paranoid? Well, for a start, we do well to notice that in John's Gospel, when Jesus says the world, he means his opponents. He has many followers, but he also has many who are against him. And it is the world in the sense of those who are not with Jesus but against him, who he is saying could show hate. There's a lot of hate from them, as is shown by the following 36 hours after he says this, on the night he is arrested, on the night before he is tried and then nailed to a cross in public. The crowds turned on him for no good reason in those hours. The authorities stitched him up and then nailed him up. So maybe Jesus was not paranoid when he said his many opponents hated him. He would know it from so many of their shouts and because of their talk and their actions over the following 36 hours, showing hatred. Let's ask a second question. Do people hate Christians? Do people hate followers of Jesus Christ? Because Jesus tells his followers here they could well do. Now, Christians don't want to be hated. We don't have a persecution complex. And lots of people in this world don't hate Christians. Christians do not deserve to be hated. And indeed, lots of other people stand up for Christians and others when they see the injustice. Christians don't look to be hated, but across our world, in many places, Christians are hated for no good reason. Now, Jesus uses the word if, doesn't he? Have a look in verse 18. The first word is if. If the world hates you. Because it is not always the case. But Jesus obviously thinks hatred is likely for his followers. After all, that's why he's saying these things. And there is evidence that all of his 11 disciples were killed brutally in the following years for no other reason than their faith in him. And so many Christians were persecuted and martyred in the following centuries as Christianity spread through the world. And the same is true today in so many countries of the world. Innocent Christians are unfairly treated and violently persecuted for no good reason. India, indeed, was in the news only this morning, and I became aware of more of what was going on there a month ago. There is a lot of heartless hatred towards Christians. So much, even, that the BBC reports some of it now. People from many backgrounds, in lots of places, do show their hatred towards Christians. A third question. Why? Why do people hate followers of Jesus Christ? And here Jesus is trying to help his close followers. And he gives two sort of angles, two answers. Jesus says this to his followers. They will hate you because they hated me. Can you see in verse 18, if the world hates you, be aware that it hated me before it hated you. And in verse 20, remember the word that I said to you, servants are not greater than their master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. And again in verse 21, but they will do all these things to you on account of my name. Actually, Jesus is being very helpful here. He tells his followers, if they hate you, don't take it personally. It's about me. You know, when people hate us, show hatred, it's so easy to take it personally. But if we're faithful to Jesus, and there is no good reason for the hatred, then Jesus is very clear in helping his followers realize not to take it personally. And that's such a big help. It takes off such a big burden on the top of the other trouble. Such a big help in a desperate situation. Why do people hate faithful Christians? There's one reason. Their hatred is really towards Jesus. And then Jesus gives another answer to help us understand. They hate us because Jesus shows them their sinfulness and their lack of excuse. Let's have a look at that in verses 22 and following. Jesus says, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not have sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. It was to fulfill the word that's written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Just listen a moment. Jesus, with his heavenly Father, brings the good news of God's love. And, alongside this, the need for everyone to be saved from their sin. And we humans like hearing that Jesus loves us. It's the other bit, which is harder to take, and which causes many humans to hate. We don't like being shown our sin. We like hearing that God loves us, but it's the mention of our sin that causes a response which is otherwise hatred of God. Now, being clear, God is God, and he surely is qualified to say what is right and what is wrong, and to tell that to his people, those whom he has created, to be like him. But so many of us do not want to know. And when the message of Jesus reminds us, so many humans hate him and hate his Father, his heavenly Father, and hate the messenger, his people, even if the messenger is only quietly, faithfully living out the life of a Christian. That, says Jesus, is why people can hate followers of Jesus Christ for no good reason. Another question. Why would Jesus tell them this? Surely wouldn't it be better to keep quiet about it? Sweep it under the carpet, not worry people. Might that be your approach? Well, it wasn't Jesus' approach. Jesus is saying this determinedly and for good reason. As he says in chapter 16, the beginning of chapter 16, verse 1, I've said these things to you to keep you from stumbling. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, an hour is coming when those who kill you will think that by doing so they are offering worship to God. To be forewarned is to be forearmed. In order for us to be resilient, we need to be ready. That's what Jesus is saying. Verse 4 after that, but I've said these things to you so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you about them. In order to be resilient, we need to be ready. Now, I reckon in some ways, Jesus didn't want to talk about this hatred in his last conversation with his closest followers. Yeah, I'm sure it would have been much preferable to tell a few jokes and share a bit of nostalgia about the old days with his good friends. But he wanted them to be ready for what was coming. Ready and resilient at the time when it did come. Because there is much more to life than that. And if we worship the living God and follow the Savior of the world, we need to be ready. We need to be resilient. And we need help, answers to our questions, so that we walk on and avoid stumbling. I'd like to finish with some practical help. We finished this little passage, but I've got some practical guidance gleaned from other places in the Bible. What do we do if someone hates us for no good reason? For one, we bless them rather than curse them, because that's what Jesus did. And if we're followers of Jesus, we'll try to do the same. Two, we turn the other cheek if they're violent. That means we take it like Jesus took it, with resilience and compassion. You know, it's so easy to hate back when people show hatred to us. But it's not the Christian answer to hate back. Jesus says, love your enemies. In the end, it is the Christian way to love our enemies, because that is the best way to help change and challenge them and the whole situation in a better direction and not a worse direction. That's the thing that changes and challenges most deeply. And so we pray for our enemies. How? How do we pray for our enemies? Well, three things I try to pray. For a start, I pray that I will be able to leave it with the Lord, because he is the judge. And so I ask him to remember the enmity and the hatred when he comes as judge on the last day, so that I can try to forget it and not dwell on it and let it eat away at me, so it's less damaging to my soul. I pray that I can leave it with the Lord. He is the judge. He will remember. Secondly, I pray that the Lord will, well, this is an Old Testament picture. heap burning coals on the heads of those who hate. Now, please get this right. It doesn't mean that in the Old Testament they used to have a coal cart with a nice burning coal thing in the back, and the, you know, they'd empty it every now and then on the people who were being prayed for. No, not at all. It's a picture. What's it a picture of? Well, what you're praying is that the Lord will make them go red. You're praying that they'll be embarrassed about their hatred, that they'll be ashamed of their hatred. And, you know, when we're embarrassed or ashamed, what happens? Certainly happens to me, might happen to you as well. I go red. Suddenly, I go very red. It's like I had burning coals heaped on my head. That's what we pray for those who show hatred to us for no good reason. I can't make that happen, but God can. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, I pray that it won't get me down, but only serve to make me more resilient, which is what Jesus wanted for his followers. Readiness and resilience. So I find praying like this particularly helpful when there is hatred in the direction of myself or other Christians for no good reason. It's tough stuff Jesus is talking about here, isn't it? But when the going gets tough, let's pray. Lord God, Lord Jesus, thank you for your teaching to your followers here in John chapter 15, and how relevant it is in our world and maybe in our lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the hatred that you took and the way that you took it. Help us to follow you. Amen.